flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. It is time right now, just a little after 6 o'clock, to let you hear from some of the key participants in this weekend's NFC Championship game, which means we get to go to Ashburn. Yep, that's right. I'm going to say it again. The Commanders are in the NFC Championship game. So let's hear from not only Dan Quinn, but Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin, Frankie Louvu over the next half hour as well before Scott Pioli joins us live at 6:30.
The six biggest Commanders storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, and build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
Let's get right to it with
number one.
All right, Jaden Daniels. He took to the podium today, as he usually does on Wednesday. He's actually going to speak again on Friday this week as well. Also joined, not at the same time, but later, Terry McLaurin, Frankie Louvu as well. And all three players spoke about what it's like to be in this NFC Championship game. Here's Daniels on what it's like to advance this far.
It's a blessing to make it this far in the season. You know, there's countless a lot of, I know teams want to be in this position, so it's a blessing. Can't really take it for granted, but you also just got to be in the moment and, you know, take it one day at a time.
Something he's done extraordinarily well this year, and that has gotten him farther than basically any other rookie quarterback ever. There's just a few others that have gotten to this stage, a rookie starting a conference championship game. None of them have had a defense ranked as low in scoring as Daniels has in the modern era. Of course, one more win, and he's in the Super Bowl. That would be a first. No rookie quarterback has ever started the Super Bowl. What would that mean to Jaden?
Man, I'm not even thinking that far. You know, it will obviously be a blessing, but, you know, I'm just focused on, you know, how can I be better day by day.
Could have put $1 million on that being the answer, but someone had the audacity to ask. For guys like Terry McLaurin, the perspective is quite different. Terry, here the entire time, so many bad seasons, so many losing seasons, tasted the playoffs once before, but never in a season like this, and never, of course, this far. The Tampa game was his first playoff win, Detroit now his second. What has this playoff run meant to a guy that's been here since 2019?
Yeah, it's been a great run. So far, seeing the way that we've come together throughout the course of the season, fought through some adversity in the middle part of the season when we lost a few, and then to end the season strong like the way we did, that momentum I feel like we've carried into the playoffs, and each week we've gotten better. DQ talks a lot about leveling up, being better each week, and I feel like we've answered that call, and it's going to take our best this week to be able to win in Philly. So. It's been great to be a part of this, but, you know, we're not really celebrating or reminiscing because the job's not done yet. So we're looking forward to the challenge this weekend, but I'm proud of the way that we have just continued to get better each and every week, and we still don't feel like we've reached our ceiling. So to feel that way in this part of the season, you couldn't ask for more. So everything we want is still out in front of us, but we're focused on preparing the white way so we could go into this game fully ready to go.
Terry, a long history of playing well in Philadelphia, going back to his very first NFL game. I remember I was there, caught two touchdown passes, including a big long one early on in that game. For Frankie Luvu, the story is a little bit different, but also not too dissimilar. A lot of losing for Frankie Luvu in Carolina. Now in year seven in the NFL, what's it been like for him to be on this ride?
Man, it's crazy because I was like asking the guys, like, if we were to ask the question, like, would y'all think we would be here today or we might have a chance? A lot of guys say we have a chance, you know what I mean? But it just took time for us to build that brotherhood, build that bond in anybody, anywhere, anytime. And we got that. So, man, we got a special group, and I'm going to go with my boys 100.
They do. They're on message. They're on message not because they're on message in the way that like a politician doesn't answer the question and is on message. This is truly who they're about, and that has helped get them to here. A third rematch with Philly, number two here in the Pick Six at six. And that idea of this is not the second matchup, this is not a rematch like Tampa was. This is a third rubber match type of game here against the Eagles. Unless you ask Dan Quinn, because he's looking at this thing just a little bit differently as he is wont to do.
Yeah, I think the natural narrative, you know them and they know you, and I don't really think of it that way. You start right back at it. You know, what are fresh eyes on the games? What are fresh eyes on the times from when we played it? The easy narrative would be, hey, they know us, we know them, just, but it's different than that to me. This is our first time playing them in the postseason. Game one, what needs to be different? What could be the same? You know, what do we need to start doing? What do we need to stop doing? Same thing in the second game. And so as you get into the third matchup with somebody, you want to make sure you have fresh eyes for the first two. Hey, did I miss something? And was there something there that I didn't, you know, think we had or did? And both teams will have things on their call sheets that never got called in that game. And you do have those up still that you've been practicing. And sometimes every play on your call sheet doesn't make it into the game, and you keep those alive as well.
So that's Dan Quinn going into this third matchup against the Eagles, which he would probably not even like to call a rematch. It's just the third matchup against teams, between teams wearing the same two uniforms. There's obviously a lot of carryover. There's obviously similar. All right, the coaching staffs are the same. There's going to be some schematic similarities. There's a ton of player crossover, although a couple key pieces have changed on each side. For Jaden Daniels, he kind of cracked this Philly defense the last time out. Five touchdown passes, including the game winner to Jamison Crowder. So what's it like for him to see the Eagles for a third time?
I think you put some different wrinkles into the game plan, and I'm pretty sure they will too. But at the end of the day, it's about, you know, execution and fundamentals, and that's a very good team that we're going to face for a third time again. So they got a lot of good players. Obviously, we know them. They know us. So it's going to be a fun matchup going up against them on Sunday.
It is definitely going to be a lot of fun. This game is so simple in so many ways. For Jaden in the offense, can you find the explosives that you found, whether it's through Eckler or down the field to Diami, down the field to Terry? Terry had that great catch in that first one on Kenyon Mitchell. Is Kenyon Mitchell even going to play? By the way, he was questionable today. The Eagles did a simulated walkthrough, so they didn't have a full practice, but Mitchell was limited. So was Jalen Hurts, for whatever that is worth. Daron Payne amongst the key guys not practicing for the Commanders. But on the rematch side of it, it comes down to, can the Commanders find that as explosive plays? And then this final first half part of our Pick Six.
Number three.
Can they stop Saquon Barkley? It really is that easy in some ways. It's just doing it is hard. Here's Frankie Luvu.
No, man, it's just pretty simple. Just, you know, us being in our gaps and making our hits. You know, he's going to find little creases here and there, and that's something he's good at. You know, checking every gaps, making sure everybody's disciplined. And, you know, on our part, we just got to be in our gaps and making our hits when it comes.
I don't know that Saquon's the best, like, set it up. Like, Gibbs was amazing at this, watching him back on film. Like, that dude is so skilled as a running back, and, like, little nuanced things that really pop. Saquon is like, if I see a gap, I'm sticking my foot in the ground, I'm going, and you are not going to catch me. And obviously in the open field, hurdles, jukes, sometimes combined all in one, he's very, very special. But, like, it's a different type of thing than facing Gibbs and some of the other backs that they faced. And obviously, other backs have found a lot of success. So is Saquon. Saquon also had a really bad second half against the Washington in the last game after Jalen Hurts wasn't there to help him out on the zone read type of stuff. And that threat had been eliminated. So for Dan Quinn, what's the emphasis this week on making sure that they stop 26, the man who is probably going to win the defensive player of the year, or the offensive player of the year in the NFC.
Yeah, every single time that I've coached against him, he's been the emphasis. And he's a remarkable player. We have faced some excellent running backs, you know, through this season. And for him, another one. And it's the explosive plays that he can create. You know, there's some running backs, it's four, it's five, but it's the long ones with that type of speed and the explosive plays. And that's what's most difficult when you're good, not so good. And so you have to be able to do right over and over again and not get bored with just being in the right spot over and over again in the tackling. In games like this, it's just a premium. That's why we do work so hard at those things to make sure our fundamentals are staying. Like if other teams are deteriorating at that, I want it just the opposite, that we're tackling at a higher level today than we were months ago. And so we work really hard at that specific skill.
And it's something that definitely has shown up. Washington has been very, very good in that department. And I think that emphasis is also great during the week of, it's not that you want to play scared, but it's not like, hey, go make a bunch of plays, be super aggressive, let's shoot gaps, let's whatever. It's like, no, just, you're not going to get in trouble for doing what you're supposed to do. And there are some backs that being a little more aggressive, you can get in trouble doing that. This is one of those guys. And there's other backs that you can be more aggressive and you're not really going to, you know, the worst thing that happens is they get a 6 yard gain instead of a two, or a minus two. And it's worth the risk at that point. Saquon, not really worth the risk. And those second and third level defenders, making sure that they are there to clean stuff up is so critically important this week, because that's how it goes from like, oh man, that was an 8 yard gain, second and two, that kind of sucks, to, oh, well, it's the extra point now because Saquon scored a 70-yard touchdown, which Washington unfortunately has some experience with this year. When we get back, you'll hear even more from Jaden Daniels, more from Dan Quinn, more from Frankie Louvu and Terry McLaurin. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Chicken how you want it at Wawa with customizable crispy or roasted chicken sandwiches. Super Bowl winning executive Scott Pioli joins us, now an analyst with the NFL Network at 6:30. Real quick, though, let's wrap up our pick six at six here on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. We gave you some Dan Quinn, some Frankie Louvu, some Jaden Daniels, some Terry McLaurin. Let's continue with a little bit more from DQ. And one of the biggest problems that he's got to figure out this week.
Number four.
Dan and the offensive staff have to decide what to do at right guard. Obviously, Sam Cosmi is sadly lost for the season due to the ACL injury that he sustained against Detroit on the B-Rob touchdown. And now, you would think they would just move forward with Trent Scott, because Trent Scott played really well in the game on Saturday night. Was an excellent pass blocker, did okay in the run game. Cool. But now you got a week to prepare, and you've got a guy in Andrew Wiley who's played some guard before. You got Cornelius Lucas, who's ahead of Scott on the depth chart at tackle, that you could slide out to right tackle. So Brandon Coleman, a lot of people thought he was a guard. Could you kick him inside? So is that on the table, or is it just going to be Trent Scott on Sunday, Dan Quinn?
Yeah, a lot of thought to that, David. And first, let's give a quick shout to Trent of coming in and really being somebody that can handle that. But yes, that is absolutely, you know, how we go about it. And that would be there at any spot. Like what I was saying earlier, like, what's the best thing for us to win this game? And then that is all there is. And so, yeah, that's really where we're at in terms of the next 3 days of our practice.
So it sounds like it's all on the table. I think that's something to watch for. It might just be something to put in Philly's head. Hey, we don't know. I don't know how much it actually affects what Philly's going to do. Here's what I do know. They're probably chomping at the bit because they've got Jalen Carter, who typically lines up right where Sam Cosmi usually is. And they had some wars in the first couple of games this season. So it is a big, 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 big question for Washington this week. What do you do along the offensive line? Those are some of the options. And we'll see if we learn any more as the week goes on. Of course, Cliff Kingsbury talks to the media tomorrow. That he'll say much. We probably honestly won't know until they go take their first snap on Sunday. And if Trent Scott goes out there, I don't know that we're going to have a whole lot of information. Or we're going to even remember that that was a discussion we had on Wednesday. But that is kind of the status quo of things. On to number five.
Number five.
Jaden Daniels, the latest and greatest edition of the dual threat quarterback. He's already one of the best we've ever seen, certainly the best rookie we've ever seen of this variety, the level he's performing. And Jaden was asked today about running quarterbacks and how the position is played now versus maybe some of the guys that he saw growing up. Although he's a young guy, so he probably had some guys he could watch growing up.
I think that's just how the position is played. You got guys on the other side of the ball that can run 4-4, 4-3, so you got to be able to move a little bit, be able to play make. So I think that's just, you know, a part of the game and how the game's evolving now.
It's part one of the things that attracted him to Dan Quinn, because Dan, as a defensive coach, knows how hard that is. Like, they can just break your defense. And, of course, on the other side is one of the guys who does that extraordinarily well. While he's not the most gifted passer, Jalen Hurts is an unbelievable runner. And he has a tendency to pick up big first downs in big spots and pick his spots very well. He's tough to bring down. He finishes runs. And, of course, if he can just get close, you got the tush push on fourth down. But for Jaden, I think what's magical is his ability to sit in the pocket and dissect defense. And then if you rush him, then you have to catch him. And there's even times against the blitz where he just sees an overload coming left and he'll just be like, fine, I'll run to the right. All of you are going to play tag, basically, and you're running around this giant barrier called my offensive line, and you're vacating all this space over here, so I'm not it. And that's worked for him at times this year. Nevertheless, if he can keep his eyes up and find a little bit more down the field. As for DQ and his thoughts on this, he was asked if it's a prerequisite. Is it a must for mobility at the modern NFL quarterback position?
Yeah, Adam, I think it certainly helps, because the extended plays that happen, you know, in our game, whether it's the rush, the blitz, anything, for the guys that can get outside the pocket and remain a dual threat, remain a passer on the run to rip it, or if they're dropping too far back to go. So it definitely, there's different levels of it for sure, but I would say it certainly feels like the guys are most difficult to defend have that capability.
You can do everything right against a starting quarterback. Everything that can run as a defense, what you coach on the paper, and then he can wreck your day. Just gets out, one guy misses, and then you're in a bad spot. And Jaden has done that to so many teams this year, and he did it to Philadelphia last time they played. Which brings us to our final point in our pick six.
Number six.
Last time these two teams played, it was a weird game. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson got ejected. Jalen Hurts got hurt. But ultimately, the Commanders won. So are they coming in with this underdog mentality, even though they're the lower seed, they're on the road, in the way that a lot of people would probably expect? I think you know what the answer is going to be from Dan Quinn.
We just don't let the outside narrative kind of drive it. And internally, we've got a lot of expectations about how we can play and what we do, but we never, you know, went too far outside of things. Did we feel dismissed or put off? Yeah, of course some. I think that happened in the opening game. I felt dismissive. Hey, man, hang in there. It's going to be a long time. I was like, hey, F you. You know, like, that's not how it's going to go down. And I was upset. But it wasn't disrespect. It was dismissiveness. And I felt some kind of way, but it didn't motivate me more to say, that's how they think of us. It wasn't disrespect. It was we're going to be a lot better than what we just showed today. And eventually we'll show that. So it's not a prove it to everybody else or underdog story. It's, you know, it's how we get down. This is not a 7-game series. And so, like, we got to play our best on Sunday at 3 o'clock. And that, to me, is the biggest factor.
And in a 1-game series where you got the best quarterback, you're going to play hard and you take care of the football, you got a great chance to win. And that's how the Commanders have gotten here. That is how they're going to try to get down again on Sunday against the Eagles. That's our pick six at six here on the Hoffman Show. Tomorrow you'll hear from Cliff Kingsbury, Joe Witt Jr., and more. But coming up next, Scott Pioli. He hired Adam Peters for his first NFL job, and he joined us just over a year ago to talk about AP. A little over a year later, what's he think of the job that he's done? I think he's going to be pretty proud. We'll talk to Pioli next here on the Team 980.